This is the EWN Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to Empowering Motherhood Radio. I'm Tara Darlington. Thanks for joining us. We're so glad that you're here. And we're here to shine the light for your journey in motherhood by bringing conversations that matter to the table and to help you thrive in all areas of your life, including motherhood. Now, being consciously aware is the name of the game these days, conscious living, conscious parenting. Well, my guest today brings up her expertise in relationships and communication with her signature program, Conscious Couples. So as a mother, communicating well in our life and teaching this art to our children is invaluable in so many areas. So to introduce this awe-inspiring guest that we have today, Ifrat Wolfson, more formally to you, her background is a master's in human rights education, and she co-founded a community eco center in Israel where they help to create a sustainable way of living and communicating. And I love to bring living and communicating together. And it just seems like, it's a bit of a missing link in some way. So welcome, Ifrat. We're so honored to have you join us today.
Thank you, Tara. So good to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. So communication really is the centre of so much of our lives, and miscommunication, I guess you could say. So just start by telling us how communication became such a passion for you.
Well, I've actually had quite a long journey with understanding the dynamics of conflict between people. I started out when I was 22 in facilitating dialogue encounters between Israelis and Palestinians. So I'm originally from Israel. I'm Israeli. And for many years, for nearly a decade, I did that, just getting Israelis and Palestinians together into long-term conflict transformation processes. And so I've been trained quite a lot in understanding the dynamics of conflict. And I guess you could say that what most people find really challenging in communication is how to deal with conflicts, how to deal with the difficult moments, you know, when we're not agreeing on something. And so that's kind of really giving you a huge background in understanding that dynamic. And when I moved to Australia a couple of years ago, 2.5 years ago, I started working here with schools and school teachers and also with the general public. And what I realized was that these dynamics of conflict that happen between countries and between peoples are actually, fascinatingly, the same dynamics that happen between husband and wife or partners or mother and child. And so that these tools that I've acquired along the years are super, super relevant for anybody, really. And that's how I started evolving my own practice into actually working with just the general public and particularly with couples.
Yeah, wow, that's fascinating. So tell us a little bit more about that insight of realizing that, you know, that as you said, the dynamics of the conflict, you know, there was this foundational similarity between whether it was between countries or between people or couples or, you know, parents and children. Just expand a little bit more on that. It's a fascinating insight that you've come across, really.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I'm trying to think how to talk about it without talking for 5 hours. So, so like in a nutshell.
Fair enough. Well, what are the main? I guess what are the main attributes to that? What are the first things that come to mind? Yeah. You know, when you think about that.
Yeah. So the first thing that comes to mind is that what happens in a conflict dynamic is that often what we will do is. Stop seeing the other person as fully human and start seeing them as an obstacle for us getting what we want. And so
Right. We're
going to do stuff in our communication, even using communication tools like nonviolent communication, which a lot of people are familiar with. I see people using nonviolent communication just as a tool to get what they want from the other person. So we're going to do everything we can, either most commonly blaming them, you know, for the problem. So blaming them, justifying ourselves, sometimes shaming, accusing, those sort of dynamics in order to get what we want. And the thing that helps us do that is to stop seeing them as fully human. And this kind of happens not consciously. We're not conscious of the fact that we're doing it. So if I, you know, dropped in the middle of you having an argument with your partner and I asked you, so are you seeing him as kind of less than fully human right now? You'd be like, no, of course I don't. I still love him, blah, blah, blah. But just in that moment of the conflict, what we do is we start labeling this person as certain things. So, for example, you could say about your partner, he's so inconsiderate. He's, you know, he only thinks about himself. He doesn't know how to listen. So we put like these labels on these people. He's lazy. Okay. So the minute I think someone is lazy and I put a label on them, it means that at that moment, at that particular moment, I'm not seeing them as fully human, as people with deep needs and desires and fears and wounds and all these things, but I'm just seeing him as lazy. I've got this label on him. That's kind of in a nutshell the core of that dynamic.
Yeah, right. So if in that situation, what's our first step to starting to turn that around, to not seeing them as lazy, when all you want to do is say, oh, you're so lazy?
Sure, I know. And first of all, I just want to acknowledge something, that when you start going down this path of more conscious communication, it's very easy to kind of get upset with ourselves when we forget to do it. So just as a little comment, that any tool or anything I'm going to talk about today, I'm really inviting the listeners to just take this as a tool to play with in your life and not something to kind of feel guilty about or judge yourself that you don't do it properly. Because I've been practicing this stuff for, you know, 8-9 years, and I still mess it up all the time. So...
And it's interesting, even when you say that, when you turn a lot of things in our life into that we're playing with it, and it really changes a lot of things. So, you know, that perfectionism is something that a lot of us hold on to and it's hard to let go of, and that expectations we have of ourselves, the expectations we have of our partner and our life and our children, and that, you know, that perfectionism and that expectation is often, for me, I find that really got to work to bring that, let that be flexible and more fluid, and to be able to shift and shape with what's going on with your life. So with saying that about, you know, do you find that the expectations and that sort of within that some sort of perfectionism or perfectionist is, you know, plays a role in this, in this transition from, you know, from conflict?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And this also connects with your first question of, okay, so how do we start actually transforming this? I believe that the first step is to actually really start taking a deep look at ourselves and understanding myself and where I'm judging and criticizing myself as a doorway to start understanding why I judge and criticize other people. And basically, whenever I'm judging and criticizing someone else and I start labeling them, usually it means that there's something that I'm judging or angry about in myself. I'm angry at myself for. Or there's some kind of a deep need of mine that's not being met right now. And so I actually offer this a couple of exercises for people to be able to start connecting with themselves. So every time you're upset with someone, it's an opportunity for you to start connecting with yourself more, to start understanding what's really going on there for me, and be curious. So I think the word curiosity is very important here. So it's not like, what's wrong with me? Why am I getting upset? Blah, blah, blah. It's a genuine curiosity, like a curious child. So I wonder what's going on here for me. Like, why am I getting so upset? You know, like this real genuine curiosity. And so one of the exercises you can do is to translate judgments into deep needs. And here's how you can do that. So let's say I'm judging my partner as lazy, okay? So I notice that I'm judging them as lazy right now. So I can ask myself, okay, how would I want them to be? What would I want them to be like? And you can even write down your answers to yourself. So you don't do this in the moment, yeah? It's not like in the moment, the heat of the moment. I'm not doing this stuff in the heat of the moment. I do it after. Or if you think about the last time that happened, okay? So what would I like him to be like? And just write it down to yourself. What is the opposite of lazy or, you know, what you're judging him for? So let's say I wrote down to myself, well, I'd like him to be considerate and to do stuff in the house without me having to ask him. Let's say that, okay? And then I can ask myself, okay, yeah, common one.
Good example, yeah.
And so now the next step is that I can ask myself, so why do I want that? What deep need of mine will be met if he did that? Okay, if he was doing stuff around the house without me asking, what would that provide for me on a deep level? Okay, and so I might come up with, well, it will give me more time for myself because I'm not always rushing around doing everything. It could also give me more the feeling of partnership, like I've got a real partner who cares in the same way that I care about what happens in the house. It can mean a lot of things to me. And so I write down a few of those things, and then I can even take it a step further and I can actually go ask myself, okay, so why do I need that? Okay, so let's say I said, because then I'll have more time to myself, right? Why do I need that? What would that provide for me? If I had more time to myself, what would that provide me? So go a layer deeper even. Would provide maybe peace of mind and strength to keep, you know, holding up this household, which takes a lot of energy for me, and it would provide for me more, how do you say in English? Sometimes I lose words in English, sorry. like the emotional availability to connect with my partner more, for example. So it's kind of like I can go deeper and deeper in the layers. And then when I'm really clear on that and understand what is so important to me and why this is happening, I can also start being curious about what's going on there for him. Why doesn't he, you know, take out the trash even though I've asked him 5 million times? Like, what's going on there for him? Why is that happening? And I can start applying that same curiosity. Instead of labeling him as lazy, I can start applying a genuine curiosity. And the assumption here is that there must be a good reason. You know, there must be a good reason why he's not doing that. And the good reason is a deep need of his. He's got some deep need that's not being met or that he's trying to meet with this behavior in some way. So the trick is that we don't have to put up with the behavior of the other person, but we want to acknowledge the deep need. So the need is always legitimate. Okay, let's say he's, you know, I've asked him a million times and he's not doing it because he actually has a deep need for autonomy and freedom of choice. So he wants to choose for himself which parts of the household he'd like to take responsibility for. Just an example, he doesn't want to be like bossed around and told what to do all the time. Let's say that's a deep need that he's got. So I can actually acknowledge, actually, that's a really legitimate need. I have that need, too. I don't want to be bossed around. I want to have choice, freedom of choice, too. So I can actually acknowledge that. I can ask, is that what you're really needing? And just acknowledge that for a minute and say, yeah, I can totally relate to that. I really understand that need. It's that makes sense. You know, it's like I'm validating the need. And at the same time, without the word but, by the way, here's a little tip, okay? When you say the word but, it completely negates everything you said before that. It's like, honey, I love you, but no. It's not going to hear the I love you at all or whatever you said before. I understand that need, but blah, 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 negates everything that you said before the but. So you want to shift from yes, but to yes, and. Okay, so I understand that need. It makes sense to me. And also at the same time, I have something that this whole situation is bringing up for me. Would you like to hear that? And usually, like 90-something percent of the time, if you really, really acknowledged and validated the other person's need, but really not as a manipulation, but like actually really connected with their need and understand how legitimate that need is, then usually they will say yes. They will say yes, I'm willing to hear what's going on there for you. Yeah, it's very, very powerful because most of the time what happens in communication is that we jump to the solutions. You know, okay, I do this all the time too. I forget, you know, I forget to connect first. And I just go and try to find a solution. Okay, look, this is what I want. This is what you want. Maybe we can compromise. Maybe we can, you know, do this or that. And completely neglect talking about the deeper thing that is happening. And that's the deep need. Yeah, so we really want to be able to do that, to kind of dive deeper into the deeper layers of what's really happening. So to do that, I really recommend to first try this not in the heat of the moment. It's so difficult to do this when you're emotionally triggered. It's like when you're in the heat of the moment, at this stage, if this is a new concept for you, just don't even try. I'm saying it just so you don't get disappointed. After it happened, and let's say you reacted, and whatever it was, it's okay. You know, it's okay. And now you can sit down with yourself and do the process, the curiosity process, what I talked about before, and just try to understand what's actually going on there for you and what could possibly be going on there for your partner. And then try to apply that that tool of speaking from the realm of the deep needs, rather than the behavior.
Yeah, I can see how your work has gone from working like, can, you know, any relationship really, as you said at the very beginning, whether it's between countries or between people or couples or, you know, parent and child, that if we start applying this, we're going to really transform everything that we do and the way we move through things so much more quickly. You know, we're looking, it's the whole win-win thing, isn't it? You're looking for a win-win this way for everybody.
Yeah, and so this is how you get to a real win-win, is like...
Yeah, a real one.
It's understanding that in the world of behavior, like what people are doing and saying and what they're not doing and not saying, there's a contradiction, right? Like, I want you to take out the trash and you don't want to take out the trash. There's a contradiction. And so to find a solution, it's like we'll need to compromise. Okay, so only do it, you know, twice a week, okay? Yeah, all right. Yeah, and then nobody's really happy with that. Now, in the world of deep means, that's where there's no contradiction. We can actually look for a solution that's going to be meet both my needs for, you know, feelings of needs of partnership and belonging and, you know, time for myself so I can have more strength and all those beautiful things that we said before, and your needs for freedom and choice and autonomy. We get, so if we connect on that level, we can look for a solution that's going to meet both of those needs. And it's not impossible, but it can be complex, you know, sometimes. It's just understanding that it's not either my needs or your needs, but that our needs are actually side by side. They're both equally legitimate, equally important. So that's, it makes it more complex, especially with children, you know, because with children, it's like often parents will either put their needs like on top of the children's needs. Well, I'm the parent, so I'm more important, or vice versa, or they're the kids, so they're more important. You know, so that can be really tricky sometimes to understand, to strive for this conversation where everyone's needs are equally important. It's more complex for sure, but it's so worth it in terms of the level of connection that you can actually achieve when you do that.
Yeah, and once you find that solution, then what I find is things are much easier. So part of my work with mothers is helping them to create a lifestyle that meets everybody's needs, where you're, as a mother, you're not putting yourself last all the time, and, you know, you're not segmenting all these different areas and everyone's different needs. I've got 6 kids. I've got, you know, a lot of people's needs to look after. So it's a matter of finding ways that actually meet everybody's needs. And that is one of the things that I try to, that I help women do, to create a lifestyle, especially with younger children, that, you know what, if you don't like going to the kids' park playgrounds anymore, then what about finding something that nourishes you and your child at the same time, which, you know, might be going for nature walk for a little while instead of going to the local, you know, park or whatever. So sometimes once you do find a solution, do you find that it starts to simplify life and make things fall into place much better afterwards?
Yeah, for sure. And I think there's another layer to it. And this is what I've found in my sort of research of this whole concept of relating, really. And it's relevant for every relationship, and it's so super relevant in, you know, romantic relationships. And what I've found is that there's an even deeper layer than the needs. So I studied a lot of nonviolent communication, and it's amazing. It's an amazing tool, but it kind of stops there. It stops in the deep needs, and that's like the deepest layer that you get to. And what I've found to be even more, even more deep in our patterns of relating, is our subconscious beliefs about ourselves,
yes,
and our subconscious beliefs about relationships. And those are really, really important to understand. So that's like the next step. So the first step is like you start connecting with yourself and moving beyond the world of behaviors to the world of feelings and needs. Okay, and that's step one. And there's a lot of resources out there that can help you do that as well. And the next step after that is to start diving even deeper into the realm of your subconscious beliefs. And this has been extremely powerful for me personally in my own personal life, and the clients that I work with on a daily basis, is when you get on your subconscious beliefs and subconscious relating patterns in relationships, you can actually literally start reprogramming them in your mind. And start bringing them out into the open and actually having a dialogue with your partner about them. So they stop being in the shadows of your relationship and start being on the table. And that's a really, really powerful practice that I recommend people to, or anyone listening, to really start looking at.
Yeah, that's I'm going to take a very quick break, and we're going to come back to talking about that and talking more in the nitty-gritty of relationships and one of your blogs about losing yourself when you're talking about coming out of the shadows. So we're with Ifrat Watson. We're having a wonderful talk about conscious communicating, and I want to bring it back around now to, you know, our relationships, our romantic relationships, so we can really look at what it is that is going to get us back on the road to being where we want with that. So back in a moment.
You're connected to the EWN Radio Network.
Into some nitty-gritty, and as you were saying, as we start to bring our subconscious beliefs out of the shadows and we can reprogram that, and I just want to move over a little bit to it's going to link in nicely, I think, of that idea of losing yourself in a relationship. What's that about when it comes to you know, your work that you do?
Okay, yeah, that's a great question. I get asked that a lot. So people email me or people that I work with ask me, okay, so you know what the problem with me is? The problem is that I just get so lost in the relationship. Like I just lose myself and I get completely wrapped up in the other person's life or in our together sort of life, our togetherness, and I forget about myself. I forget who I am, I forget what I like, and I lose myself in that relationship. And then when the relationship ends, it's kind of like, who am I, you know? And a lot of people experience that. And even people who are in very long-term relationships, you know, for years, and they kind of like don't even remember who they are anymore, apart, as not as part of that couple, like just as I am. And what I've found that, what I believe that the number one reason why that happens, why we lose ourselves in a relationship, is that we don't value ourselves enough. So I can see myself as like, yeah, I'm great except for that part, you know, and that part. Oh, and that, you know, so I'm not lovable exactly as I am. I'm lovable except for those parts. You know? Do you know what I mean?
And so
what happens is that we start to function in the relationship in a way that we're kind of hiding those parts from our partner. So there are certain parts of ourselves that we're not going to express fully, because we're going to be afraid that if I only kind of express that part or show that part to him or her, they're not going to love me anymore. Because our subconscious belief here is I'm not lovable exactly as I am. Who I am 100% is not lovable, is not worthy of love. So this subconscious belief is really playing up. And then what happens is when we hide those parts of ourselves or not express them fully, then we lose touch with ourselves and we start to get confused, you know, and get what people call lost, meaning we're going to adjust ourselves to be like what we think our partner wants, what we think our partner will love, rather than just remain true to yourself. So if you had the belief the subconscious belief that who you are, exactly as you are, 100%, is absolutely lovable, worthy, and good enough, you wouldn't be doing that. You would just very easily and gracefully be yourself, right, and not lose touch with that self just because you're in a relationship. So this is where the two topics connect, I guess, is like understanding how our a subconscious belief like that can really affect the way that we relate with our partner or with anyone, but particularly with our partner.
And so when we start to, you know, there's a whole process really, isn't there, of as you said, bringing this out of the shadows, I guess is the perfect way to say it. And that's a big thing that you help people do, is to come and reconnect with themselves and then help them to reconnect as a couple. Tell us a bit about your work and how you actually help couples.
Sure. So what I do is actually, it's not at all a sort of couple therapy or counseling. It's something very different. What I do with couples is I actually build their own skills and their own capacities to build the relationship that they want for themselves. So rather than them being kind of dependent on, you know, talking it out in therapy, I want to give them all the tools and the skills that they need to do this themselves. And then, of course, I support them and follow them along the process as much as required. But usually what I can see is that people can actually achieve quite amazing results without having to, you know, come back for one-on-one kind of counseling. But they can do very, very well with the tools that they receive. And so the first step that I help couples achieve is to get really, really clear on what both of their subconscious relating patterns and subconscious beliefs are. And again, it's like the beliefs about relationships and beliefs about themselves. So get really, really clear on that. And then I get them to get really, really clear on their vision for their relationship. So what is it that I actually want in this relationship? And you'd be surprised how much people don't actually know what they really want. They know what they don't want. It's sometimes so easy to know what I don't want, right? I don't want this, and I don't want fighting, and I don't want arguing, and I don't want, you know. And then building the vision of what I do want is for some people quite tricky, actually. And so I kind of help them along that process of getting really clear on what they do want. And then there's one more little hurdle along the way, and that's aligning your vision with your partner's vision. So imagine if, you know, what I want, what my vision for this beautiful relationship is for us to raise 5 kids together and live in the country, and your vision is that you don't want to have kids at all and you want us to travel in India for the next 2 years, you know. So it's like we're going in different directions. So aligning our vision is really, really, really important, because that's when we can start moving together towards building that. And that can be a bit of a tricky territory. So a lot of things will be aligned on, and then some things will be not so aligned. And how do you kind of navigate that tricky territory? So that's something that I help couples to achieve as well. It's like aligning their visions and kind of tweaking the individual vision so that they can build together a mutual vision. And it's quite a beautiful process.
So my next question, which is probably, and you get asked a lot at this stage, is so is this something that people can sign up to on their own and work on it without their partner having to be ready to come on board yet, or is it something that people need to me, I'm hearing that you can start working on yourself and your own communicating and your own SHIT, as we put it, to start making a change. Do we need to, you know, is it a way that you can start working on yourself before your partner may or may not be ready to come into the process?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So I sometimes work with couples who just one of the couple is actually interested in doing the process. And it's definitely possible. And what often happens is that either the other partner gets on board in some way because they see a shift happening and they're like, whoa, that's interesting. Tell me how you do that, you know. Or sometimes what might happen is that can you say misalignment, like non-alignment?
Yeah.
The non-alignment between the couple actually gets bigger, you know, because the person who does do the process suddenly realizes, you know, actually I'm in an abusive relationship, you know, or something like that. Like, and that hasn't happened to me a lot because usually people who are in abusive relationships, I would tell them, you know, this process is not for you. You need to, first of all, get out of there and get yourself safe. And this is something that for me is very important because I'm a survivor of an abusive relationship myself. So it's like I don't really work with couples where there's abuse. I really encourage the person who's under the abuse to first of all get safe, and then work on their pattern. And I can support them through understanding their own patterns that made them become attracted to an abusive person in the first place. You know, so, but I lost my train of thought now. What were you asking?
That's okay. That was a very good point. You know, it was a very good point that, so just to go back to what you were saying quickly before we come back to what you were saying before that, it is a very good point that, you know, working on your own stuff and remaining in a dangerous or unsafe or abusive situation isn't really, you know, there's other steps to take, and you know, that this process that you're working with can help people, but you know, that reminder to still encourage people to find you know, to make themselves safe where they need to.
I'm very passionate about this. Sorry, like I said, having been through it myself, and it's taken me many years to even realize that I'm in an abusive relationship, and then another couple of years after I realized to actually leave it. So my subconscious patterns were very strong, and it has to do with things around like not recognizing that something is abusive, because deep down inside you believe that that's what you deserve in some way, because you are not, you made a mistake or you're not good enough, etc. So, and this is all subconscious. Like, I wouldn't, if you asked me at the time, I wouldn't tell you, like, yeah, of course, I deserve to be abused. It wasn't something I was conscious of. So if you are, you know, if anyone listening to this feels like you might be in an abusive relationship, I really believe that the first step is to get yourself into a situation where you're safe, and then try to work on it and maybe repair, but not to like stay together in an abusive environment where you're being run down every single day, and try to work things out, because that's just going to wear you out, and you don't need to put up with even one day of abuse just to help the other person make it through their own crap, you know. So first get yourself safe, and then get yourself to understand what are your patterns that made you attracted to the situation in the first place, because otherwise your next relationship, or if you go back to your partner and try again, it's going to be the same. Unless you become aware of your own subconscious patterns, you're going to recreate that with the next person. You're just going to do the exact same thing with a different face. Maybe it'll be a bit less worse, you know. But you have to start understanding what is it that you were doing that was messing up this relationship. And this is, a process that I've gone through myself in my personal life. After leaving the abusive relationship, I went through a very deep self-discovery process where I realized all of the destructive and unhelpful patterns that I brought into the relationship that were wreaking havoc on the relationship as well, just as much as, well, I wouldn't say just as much, but as well as the abusive behavior of my partner at the time. So, you know, this is really, really important to get clear on your own stuff and not to blame the other person and think it's all them.
And that's like coming back to where we were before, part of this process of aligning your vision with your partner's. And, you know, let's go back to talking about that because we sort of left off there before. So just come back to talking about that process, and we were talking about, you know, working, whether you work with your partner or you start working on your own, and, you know, that process of aligning your vision with your partner's.
Yeah, okay. So first of all, what I'd like us to kind of, what I'm suggesting for us to do is to also, like, abandon the word work. It's something that I hear a lot, like, yeah, I'm working on it, I'm working on myself, work, work, work. And I like the word exploration and play. And everything I do with people is just an exploration of ourself and our and the other, and playing around with the tools, like we said before, you know. So I have a really big toolkit to offer people, and I always say, like, look, just play with it in your own life. See, some of it might be really good for you, some of it might not. So it's just about playing around. We're really just playing around and celebrating everything, you know, even the so-called failures, because we're kind of celebrating the fact that we even noticed, you know, like, let's say I reacted to my partner, and so I'm going to celebrate that reaction. You know, because I actually noticed that I reacted. You know, maybe a few months ago, I wouldn't even notice that it was my reaction, and I would think that he's just a lazy bugger, you know. So we just kind of celebrate everything in this approach. So that's a little side comment. To get back to the aligning on your vision, so what you do is, so if I'm working with just one person in a couple, what I'm going to do is help them get really, really clear on their own vision, and then I'm going to send them off to ask their partner whether they would be willing to sit with them and kind of do a little visioning session together, because I really want to know what you want for this relationship. And often the partner is going to agree, you know, because, you know, it's not anything too much, you know. And if the partner doesn't want to do that, that's fine too. We're just going to focus on their individual vision. And they're going to go into the program with that in hand, knowing that this is what they want to create. And then along the way, there could be a lot of surprises. There could even be, like, a chance that you're going to change your vision midway. That actually happened to me not long ago. I had a very, very clear vision of what I wanted with my new partner and my kids. And I actually, like, completely tweaked my vision to something else. I realized that he doesn't want that. We weren't aligned. He didn't want what I wanted. And I realized that I want to establish something with my kids first before introducing my new partner into that part of my life. So that was really powerful for me to understand that, because it helped me to connect more with my kids. Now that my partner is kind of out of that equation, it took a lot of the pressure off. And so some surprises can happen as well along this process, that we can, like, completely change our vision or tweak it, or, you know. So the next sort of stages are to start those processes of deep self-discovery that I was talking about before, and learning how to communicate differently with your partner, and becoming just more aware. This is why it's called Conscious Couples. The course itself is called the Conscious Couples Formula. You know, so it's kind of like it's a seven-step process where they really go through this step by step, and becoming more aware, more conscious is like the key to this whole process, as far as I see it. Because whenever something is not spoken of, or you're not even aware of it, then how can you create a change? How can you transform something that you don't even know is there to be transformed?
Yeah, that's right. It's often the first step, and often the hardest step, like as far as being one of the biggest hurdles. But once you've got it, then you know, your vision is clearer, the picture's clearer, and then often it's just a matter of taking the steps towards that, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Definitely. So it's really, it can be a painful step, you know. It can be a very painful step to kind of really admit what's not working and starting to discover yourself more deeply. But really, it's like that's the only way forward. So it's okay. Like, and sometimes people in my programs go through quite deep sort of emotional stuff, you know, and that's fine too. It's like there's a container for everything. We really want to understand why we're reacting and behaving in certain ways rather than just kind of accepting it that that's how it is. You know, yeah, I'm just like that, or, oh, he's just like that. But, like, really understand where it's coming from is the first step to transforming.
Yeah, exactly. So I want you to tell us a little bit more about the other work that you do. But to finish off here, you've got quite a lot of resources on your website, which is efratwolfson.com, with efratwolfson.com, which I'll post in the description for people. What are the resources that you've got to offer people who are wanting to take their first steps towards, you know, creating a you know, better communication and relationship?
Yes, so like you said, there's a lot of resources on my website and things that people can read in video blog posts. The other thing is that, I can send you a link for that as well, is I've got a free guide called Stop Pointless Arguments and Get Back to Connection in 5 Minutes. And that's, yeah. That's a guide, that's a step-by-step guide that you can really use in the moment. So some of the things we spoke about today are written there about the curiosity. And it can really help people to have some tools for those heated the moment kind of situations, you know, because we really want to start bringing in some awareness into those more difficult moments, right? So the reason, just saying in advance, and it's written in there as well, that when it says 5 minutes, it's like it's a practice, you know. So at first, it's going to take you quite a while. And then slowly you can actually master this skill of being able to just shift in the moment. Like you can literally see yourself just in this pointless argument or fight, and you just kind of observe yourself from outside. And you're like, oh, I'm just in a pointless argument right now, and I'm going to stop. And you can like stop it in the moment and do this process that's in the guide and get back to connection. So that's a really great resource that is free, and people are welcome to download it and read it and send me any comments or any questions they may have on how to implement these tools. And there's other resources on the website, like I said. One kind of new service that I offer to people is I've written an assessment called the Couple Constellation Roadmap Assessment. And what people do is they fill out this assessment, and it helps them. So you fill out one for you and one for, and your partner fills out separately. And what it helps them is to get really clear on their subconscious patterns and their vision. And then we have a 60-minute consult where I help them to align their vision with each other. So that's another service that can be found, a link to that is on our website as well. Yeah, and those are some really good first steps that people can take to start having these skills to build the relationship of their dreams for themselves.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful, and you know, it's great. You've got some great first steps they can take. There's the blog, there's the video blog, there's, you know, whether you want to start with something small or jumping right in, there's lots on offer there to help people to really, you know, turn their relationship around, which is fantastic. So just before we finish off, tell us a little bit more about the other stuff that you do. I'm looking at your work for schools and programs for schools and organizations. Tell me a little bit about that work that you do.
Sure. So the other thing I do is I've written a program called the Nonviolent Conflict Transformation Program. It's a bit of a long name, but it's really beautiful. It's 9 sessions of 90 minutes, and it's really great for like schools, youth clubs, and organizations as well. It can be for adults as well, adapted to adults. And what I do is I run facilitator training of that for the teachers in schools, and then they go and work with the young people usually to give them these tools to handle conflicts more positively. So we don't go that deeply into, you know, subconscious beliefs and patterns with young people because it's a bit advanced, but there's definitely a lot of the deep needs and the communication tools and understanding yourself and tools for dealing with emotional triggers and things like that. It's really beautiful. So I've been enjoying doing that as well. I've been neglecting it a little bit now that the couples work has become so big, but I still do that from time to time as well. And just working with organizations, it's the same thing. This is why I said in the beginning, like the dynamics of conflict are the same. So conflict in the workplace is the same. Conflict, like I've worked with communities, for example, where a community will invite me in to kind of mediate a conflict situation and that sort of thing. The last sort of project that I'm involved in, I live in Mullumbimby, New South Wales, which is in Australia, and there's a local conflict resolution service called the Byron Conflict Resolution Gateway. And we help people to deal with their conflicts in a holistic way. So meaning that it's, again, not about just finding compromises, but understanding, you know, that the conflict is an opportunity to dive deeply into myself and to heal some wounded places inside of me and to start a fresh start in life. So really supporting people through conflict situations in a very holistic way. So those are like all the projects that I'm involved in. I'm a bit stretched having 2 kids as well.
That's just what we're like once you hook into something that you're passionate about and it's your calling. That's not really, yeah. You know, the work is saying no, which is not that easy to do. It's like, I totally understand that. Yeah. When it's your calling,
and
you just arrive.
Yeah, that's right. And Tara, the last thing I would love to invite people, if they wanted to, is to join my Facebook group. It's called Relationship Support for Conscious People. And it's just such a fun group. Like, people share their all kinds of things, and I share a lot of tools and videos and little tips that I have, and share a lot of stuff about my own sort of partner in this intimate group. And it's just a really beautiful community sharing space. So that's also something that people are very, very welcome to join.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I'm in there having a look around when I have the time. And the link to that is at the bottom of your website. So I'll put all of these, all this information in the description for anyone who wants and needs and is ready to follow through. So thank you so much for giving us your time. It's been really enlightening, and I think it's just so lovely to hear from someone who is giving just, really practical ways to find real solutions. And, you know, as you said, taking away the word work, it doesn't seem like it's hard work. It seems like it's just going to be more of a journey to go on and just, you know, part of our deepening understanding of ourselves and of life and all those beautiful things. And I can really see how people can apply this, you know, to their relationship, whether it's, you know, with their partner or with their children or other people in their life. Because as you've said a couple of times and where we started is that the, you know, the problem and the solution is the same with any conflict, whichever, whether it's between countries, people, partners, or whatever other relationship you could possibly come up with. So just thank you so much. I've really enjoyed it. It's been really insightful. And I'll pop those links up and really look forward to keeping in touch with you.
Thank you so much for having me, Tara. It's been very interesting and lovely to talk to you, and thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah, no worries. Speak to you soon.
See you soon. Bye.
This is the EWN Radio Network.